If you are wishing to go for vacation during very cold winter season, where do you wish to go for vacation? Do you ever wish to spend your vacation along the beach? Well, many retirees want to spend their time along the beach. Have you been to the beach? Have you ever played along the beach when you were a child, say 3 years old to 7 years old? What do you do normally to enjoy your time along the seashore? Walk, collect corals, collect shells, or swim, maybe build a sand castle, or play volleyball, or play frisbee, or play bowling? Is that possible? Do you know how to play bowling in the beach? Some people would stand and they would roll a big beach ball, and whoever is touched by the beach ball try to fall down. Well, who won the bowling yesterday? The youth had their bowling yesterday, and I suppose they had enjoyed it very much. Well, speaking about visiting the beach, there was this tragic story about a family. They had their vacation in Florida, I suppose, along the seashore. Two children were digging coal in the beach, and when they reached approximately 5 to 6 feet deep, the sand collapsed on them. Both the children were taken to the hospital. The younger child, 5 years old, pronounced dead. The incident remains under investigation. People would ask, what were the parents doing? Why did they allow their children to dig holes along the beach? And the story tells us that the viewers were the one who responded and tried to dig the children out of the hole. Well, let's reflect on what it teaches in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in a way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Don't think that children knows how to traverse, navigate this world on their own. The reason we have parents is for parents to train children and not children training their parents. This is a command. Train up a child. It's a command, godly command. As a child, what did you learn from your parents? If you remember your father, your mother, what they teach you when you were very young? What have you learned that you always carry with you? What do you remember? I always remember my father saying, you did it good, do better next time. He's satisfied I did good, but he's not satisfied that I would be very relaxed doing and be stagnant in that goodness of what I did. He wants me to do it better next time. Parents are instructed to train their children. And the term train, this is properly interpreted as or translated as dedicated discipline. Dedicated discipline. Normally this train is, when we talk about training, we immediately imagine military training, right? Military training. And in the military, you would do the same thing again and again, repeat the same thing, the same activity, until the expected satisfactory result. The march, like the first time a team would or a battalion would march, they are not very organized, but it takes them every day for long hours of training until they would be able to march cohesively. Or even in using the rifle, you use the rifle or use the sword if you are using sword. You are not able to do it at one time. Training is kind of like you are playing basketball, you train in basketball, you cannot perfect it at first try. Do it again and again until the muscles of body would be coordinated with the movement of your body. Parents, train up your children in the way you should go. Even at times that they may feel so frustrated, but pray. In a military training, when you are punished, they punish you with push-up. And now, if you go into the internet, they will say, if you do push-up, you will have good muscles. But when you are in the training, you feel like it's really a punishment. But if you take it as a good way to build muscles, then that punishment that's supposed to be punishment push-up becomes enjoyable way of doing it. Same is true with training children. At times, children would think they don't like it when parents say, go and wash dishes. And they do it just because they think it's punishment. But if you enjoy doing what you're doing, then that training would become very enjoyable. Of course, this is godly command that it takes inspiration from the Holy Spirit for us to be able to do it. Parents may express love to their children through training, but sadly, children do not readily internalize the purpose of discipline. I know this because I was there. Parents know exactly the complaint of children because we were there. Pray that you may understand the purpose of discipline, the wisdom of parenting. How do you interpret Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4? Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Again, this is godly command. So be prayerful to discipline children, to train children. Pray to be filled, pray to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Why? You can be frustrated, parents, when children don't pay attention. How's your weekend, parents? How's your teaching time to your children? When parents are not, when children don't listen to parents, the tendency of parents will be angry when they are ignored. That's very possible. And decision made in anger is not very wise most of the time, which is why experts would advise don't make major decisions when you're angry, because most often it's not wise. Angry person is not even very appreciated, right? You don't like angry person, so when you're angry, they don't like you too. When we are angry, they don't like us too. So pray. Angry means there's absence of the Holy Spirit. But Pastor, you might ask, did Christ not very angry when he cleaned the temple? When people were selling goods at the temple, was Christ not angry? Does it mean that he does not have the Holy Spirit in him? Well, scholars say it's a holy anger. But of course, the description of the writer is angry. That is the nearest description of what Jesus did when he drove out the merchants from the temple. But it was his zealousness, the expression of zealousness. He would rather drive out the merchants, whatever they would think about him, just to clean the temple. The understanding of people, he was angry. But angry not to hurt, angry to correct. There's another situation when you are angry and you want to hurt a person, that is not something holy. Parents are instructed to bring children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Children are not instructed to bring children up in training, not in anger. Children are instructed to bring up in the training and instruction of the Lord, not the suggestion of the social media. Therefore, parents, guardians, we should rely upon the Lord for word of wisdom. When we are angry, we cannot even think of the right word we say. We just want to express our frustration, that's it. And that is not very appreciated. If you are trained in godly instruction, you will be prayerful. We are prayerful, filled with the Holy Spirit, we do not even worry about life decision. Now, are you worried if you decide to marry or stay unmarried? This is a question for the unmarried. Let's read again verse 36 of our passage. If anyone is worried that he might not be acting honorably toward a virgin he is engaged to, and if his passion are too strong, and he feels he ought to marry, he should do so. He should do as he wants. He is not sinning. They should get married. Parents, again, parents, bring up and train child to listen carefully to the instruction of the Lord. Pray that you have family devotion. Read through the Bible as a family, family together. I understand this is not easy. But if you desire in your heart, how would I start, Pastor? My children are always on their computer. My children are even so late going home. How can we have family devotion? Pray. If it's the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit works, he would give desire to your children. What if my children would not join us in our family devotion? Well, continue to pray. Continue to pray. The Lord has his time for them, just as he had his time for you. Start with yourself, parents. Start reading. Start reading your Bible. Do your best to train in a godly way. God has his timing when your children would respond positively. Do not dictate. Try not to dictate. Having family devotion is very helpful for children because children have better memory. They have, say, larger memory bytes. I don't know if that is applicable, but they can memorize things better than older people. They can remember what they learn from the scripture. So when they grow up, they may apply what they learn from the scripture. The Lord may remind them of what they have learned from the scripture. Instinctively, it is very natural for a man to be attracted to a woman. So if you sense strong passion for you to get married, it is advisable for you to get married. Well, is there any biblical instruction of proper age or right age for anyone to be married? What is the right age according to the scripture when a man or a woman should be married? For Hebrews, teenagers, they get married. But I don't know if that is, I think that is cultural, but I don't know if that is really advisable for anyone. How do you interpret what it says in the Song of Songs? Chapter 8, verse 4. Let's read together. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. If you have read through the scripture and read through the book of Songs of Song, Song of Solomon, some Bible version says Song of Solomon, others it says Song of Songs. This passage, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires, was written three times in the book of Song of Songs. What does that mean? When a passage is written several times, it means it's very serious matter that we should pay attention to. So it did not advise about age here. Curiosity about married life. When children are curious about married life, or the youth, adult, adolescents, it may ignite infatuation. When it becomes an obsession, this infatuation could develop into strong passion. What is a strong passion? Do you interpret a strong passion as love? According to scholars, there are at least four different words that ancient Greeks used to describe love. Do you know what those words are? Agape, phileo, eros, and storge. Have you heard storge? Agape love is the sacrificial love of God, or sacrificial love, which is illustrated when God Almighty sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be sacrificed for the salvation of believers. That's agape, agape love. About phileo, phileo love is brotherly love. Some people say this is the love of Jonathan, the son of King Saul, with David. That's phileo love. You love a brother more than any others. That person belongs to you, or you care for him more than others. That's brotherly love or sisterly love. Eros love is expressed in sexual love, and the storge love is familial love. Storge love is that natural, instinctive affection of parents for their children. I love you, daughter. I love you, son. I love you. That's the fatherly, motherly love for their children. And I love you, mother. I love you, father. That's the instinctive affection, love of children for their parents. That's storge. One particular question that may interest anyone is that, what kind of love should be considered when someone wants to be married? Most often, when the topic is about love, it easily points to where? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 48. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse... What? No, it's not chapter 4, chapter 13. Should be 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's my mistake. Can you change that, Louis? Thank you. Verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Love never fails. This love is agape love, or godly love. This agape love is the basis for anyone. If this agape love is the basis for anyone to choose someone to marry, if someone said, if your love is like 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 48, they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is very ideal to have agape love, but in reality, it takes spiritual maturity to attain it. Right? Husband and wives, is it easy? Is it easy not to keep records of wrong? Oh, you always do that, you always do that. See, they would ask, they would tell you, they would remind you what you did in the past. The wrong you have done in the past. Always protect, always trust, always hope, always persevere. Love never fails. Just yesterday, I was browsing through the God Update website, God Update website, and there was this older man and older woman, 100 years old and 99 years old, couples. They've been married for 75 years, and they asked, what's your secret of your longevity of marriage, even life? God. It's God. Listen. When I was thinking about it, will I live until 100? When I look at their picture, they look so young, but they are 100. They look so strong even. Their secret of life and their love for each other is God. It is favorable for married people to have agape love. But when couples desire to be married and not yet practically exhibit agape love for each other, it is natural that they are motivated by eros love or sexual love. In Manitoba, Canada, what is the minimum requirement age for anyone to marry? What? Without parental consent or judicial consent, what is the minimum age? 18. When you're 18, you do not need your parental consent to be married. You do not need a judicial consent to be married. But you cannot marry at the age of 16. So 16 to 18, 16, 17, and 18, that age, you need parental consent or judicial consent. Ask a written consent from the judge to give you this go signal to be married. Now, if you are 18 years old or older and you want to be married, does it matter to inform your parents? Does it matter to inform your parents? Do you need to let your parents know about your plans or wedding plans because you are 18 years old and older, and according to the law, you do not need their consent. You do not need parental consent to be married. Now, if you are interested about biblical advice for anyone with legal age or 18 years old or older to be married, listen attentively. Listen. If you consider yourself as Christian, and you are 18 years old or more, and you wish to be married, it is advisable for you to inform your parents about your wedding plans, even before you implement your plans. Why? Do Canadian parents have legal rights to dictate children with legal aids when to marry? Do they have legal rights to dictate children where to be married, or how they would be married, or who they should marry? No, they have no legal rights. Parents have no legal rights to dictate what their children wants to marry, according to the law in Canada, in Manitoba. If they have no legal rights, so what is the point of informing parents about your wedding plans? Listen, when you inform your parents about your plans to be married, it practically proves that you respect them, that you honor them. You honor their opinion. You respect their opinion about your decision, especially if you are still living under the roof of your parents. So prayerfully reflect on what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 to 3. Let's read together. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Listen carefully. This is godly command for children to honor and respect parents. And this can only be observed when the Holy Spirit is at work in the life of children. Is it proper for parents to demand respect from their children? There's no biblical command for parents to demand respect from their children. It's not biblically commanded. So when parents demand respect from their children, maybe it's instinctive pride that instigated them. Children, your parents may demand respect from you. They may not demand respect from you, but it is favorable for you. It's favorable to you to respect your parents. Why? How is that? The Lord blesses your obedience to His command. His command is to honor parents. He has a promise to bless you, to have you a good life, enjoy life on earth. Can you accept that? Can you believe that? Ask for a stronger faith, increase of faith to believe that. This is the word of God. It's the truth. It is not easy to show respect. It is not easy to show honor to parents. When you children think that your parents are not respectable, but how can you not respect your parents when you know that they sacrifice for you to grow? The first few years of your life, you do not remember. How did you live in those few years of your life? How did you eat? How did you change your clothes? How were you kept safe in those few years? Early few years when you were born, you do not even remember. And I believe there's reason for that. This is to test us if we can recognize the sacrifices of parents when we are not aware of what they did to us. Only by the work of the Holy Spirit we can recognize that. When your parents are not respectable, do not be arrogant also. Be prayerful and seek and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will have that peace. You will have that humility. You will have that self-control. Even over instinctive will or desire. Let's read again verse 37 of our passage in verse 38. But the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion, but has no has control over his own will, and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. So then he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does better. Marriage should not be forced. Marriage should not be under compulsion. But you heard about shotgun marriage, they say. If you're reluctant to be married to someone else, let the other person know about it. I'm not yet prepared. Why such reluctance? For whatever reason, could be the source of future conflict between husband and wife. So make sure that you have firmly made up your mind when you plan to be married. To marry or not, this is also your practice of faith. You want to marry, you practice your faith. You are not decided to marry yet, that is your practice of faith. So whenever you attend a wedding, for example, what do you normally pay attention to when you attend a wedding? Are you amused of the grandeur of the wedding preparation, decoration all around, the place where the wedding was held, the wedding gown, or the trousers of the men, the music? What do you normally pay attention to? The food? Have you ever seriously paid attention to wedding message? What wedding message can you remember? Some wedding attendees are confused. They feel bored when the message seems too long. Listen carefully. Marriage is divine. If marriage is divine, how do you react to that? How do you respond? It's distinctive design instituted by the Almighty God. Marriage. Really? Together, let's reflect what it narrated in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 24. The Lord God said, "It is not good for a man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky, brought them he brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called its living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Legally, The government issued requirements for married people to officially register. The first married couples, Adam and Eve, did not submit any documents as required in the modern times. Obviously, there was no government who would require the time yet. But in the eyes of God, the marriage of Adam and Eve officially commenced when? They became one flesh when they had sexual intercourse. God approved their marriage as husband and wife. So when you attend a wedding, if there will be a wedding this year, for example, be attentive to the wedding message and reflect on your own marriage if you are married. But if you are still planning to marry or still undecided to marry, you may contemplate on your own personal decision. Decision to be married or decision not to be married should be under no compulsion, no reluctance, not force. Now let us seriously reflect on what it declares in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6 to 9. Then I heard what sounded like great multitude, like the roar of rushing water and like loud peals of thunder shouting, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad, give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people." Then the angel said to me, "Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." The church, the congregation of believers, is the bride of the Lamb. The church is congregation of believers of Christ. Ask yourself, are you Christian? Are you believer of Christ? Do you start praying that you're righteous, you have righteous act as God's holy people? That would be your linen gown when you attend the wedding of the Lamb. Are you strongly confident that you will be invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb of God? How strong are you confident? If you have any hesitation or doubt in your heart, ask the Lord, "Lord, I would like you to give me faith, increase my faith, give assurance in my heart. Lord Jesus, I would like you to be my Lord and Savior. Help me understand that. Remove all hesitation in my heart. Remove any doubt in my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit to assure me that I will attend the wedding supper of the Lamb of God." Ask the Lord. Keep praying until you sense that peace in your heart, joyful peace that you would attend. Don't allow that hesitation and doubt to create any uncertainty in your heart. And don't just wish I will be there. Don't wish that you will be there. Make sure that you will attend the wedding supper of the Lamb. Don't just wish you will be there. Let's read verse 39 and 40 of our passage. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes. But he must belong to the Lord. In my judgment, she is happier if she stays as she is. And I think that I too have the Spirit of God. Are you curious why the scripture used wedding? to practically illustrate when believers in Christ are welcome in heaven. Why is it that welcoming of believers into heaven is illustrated in as wedding supper of the Lamb? God prepared grandeur celebration. How do you celebrate wedding? How do you celebrate in life? How grandeur would it be? How glorious would you welcome those whom you have invited? God prepared grandeur celebration to gloriously welcome everyone who believe in the Son of God, in His Son Jesus Christ. And wedding should be considered as the most illustrious, if not the most glorious, occasion in the life of a person. If you remember one thing that you would like to remember as very wonderful to you, married people, what is it? Why does wedding should be glorious occasion? Because marriage is lifelong commitment. You just cannot resign. As long as you are alive, you are bound in that marriage. So as long as the husband lives, the wife is bound to her husband. Wife, did you hear? As long as the husband lives, the wife is bound to her husband. Likewise, as long as Jesus Christ, the husband, lives, the bride, the church, all believers in Christ, lives with Christ in heaven for all eternity, which will commence at the wedding supper of the Lamb. This is why wedding, marriage, is the best illustration of the relationship of Christ with the church, to be together for all eternity. So why then that Apostle Paul say that it's better for a man, it's better choice for a man not to be married? Why? Why did he say that a woman is happier if she stays unmarried? Why? Well, if we view Apostle Paul as unmarried person, we should consider his own personal experience as unmarried, and it is his life as unmarried he used as practical proof of what he advised. For anyone to be married or stay unmarried, that's your personal choice. No one should force you to be married. No one should force you not to be married. To be married or not to be married or stay unmarried should be personal commitment. But choices are acceptable, both choices. If you want to be married or you stay unmarried, both choices are acceptable and proper and right in the eyes of God. But for the unmarried person like Apostle Paul, the better choice is stay unmarried. That's Apostle Paul's decision. Someone had curiously asked, what is the biblical basis of monogamous marriage? What is monogamous marriage? Monogamous marriage is having one wife, one husband. One husband, one wife. Monogamous. Polygamous, one husband, many wives. One wife, many husbands. Polygamous. Why did God allow godly people in the Old Testament to have many wives? That is another question. It is very practical. The original plan of God of marriage is for one husband and one wife, Adam and Eve. If you look through the Genesis, Adam had many children and daughters, but it did not say that he had many wives. But after sin entered the world, people were confused. They just did whatever they wished to do. And the story of great King David should be enviable. If you want a life that you would envy, the life of King David. He was victorious, the greatest king of Israel. No enemy had defeated him. He defeated all his enemies. But he had multiple wives, and his problem among his children was fatal, deadly, if you would. Anyway, let's reflect on what it admonished us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and verse 12 and 13. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife. Verse 12, a deacon must be faithful to his wife, must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. When it says here is a trustworthy saying, it suggests that this biblical advisory is wisely designed for great ministry service to the Lord, especially for better, if not for excellent personal standing, spiritual standing. Now, when it says to be faithful to his wife, it implies only one wife, not wives, plural. So who can be faithful anyway if you have many wives? How can you be faithful to many wives? When it says faithful to his wife, you can only be faithful to one, right? Now, if church elders and deacons are required to be faithful to their own wife, does it follow to require church elders and deacons should be married? There's no literal instruction in the scripture that forbids unmarried people to serve as elders or deacons. But the requirements for elders and deacons to be faithful to their wives, this was written to prevent future argument, to preclude future argument. Something like, what if a man has many wives before he was converted into Christianity? And there are many situations like that. They have many wives before they become Christians. Well, he may still serve in other ministries in the church, but he should not be allowed to serve as church elders or church deacon. That is, there should be no argument about that when that phrase was written. Now, managing children in household, possibly the reason that those who are nominated to leadership are hesitant to accept nomination. Why? It is possible that they don't want to hear critics about how they handle family affair. But it's our prayer that may the Lord clearly speak to those who are nominated to decide firmly if they should accept the challenge of church leadership or not yet. Maybe in the future. Pray that the Lord will certainly tell which ministry you may participate. There are many ministries that we can participate in. Pray for wisdom. Pray for firm decision. Now, if your decision is to stay unmarried, or if your decision is to get married, pray for wisdom, because marriage is lifetime commitment. Pray for better choice to marry or stay unmarried as practical proof of your relationship with Christ. Shall we stand up together? Again, I would like you to reflect on the question, are you very sure that you will attend the wedding supper of the Lamb? If you are not very sure, if you are still confused, if you are still doubts, hesitation in your heart, ask the Lord to increase your faith. Lord, increase my faith. Help me trust that you have given me eternal life. Ask the Lord for that. Ask the Lord to help you have firm decision. If you have not decided yet to be married or to stay unmarried, Lord, give me that firm decision. Now, if you are in the future when you are nominated and you are not decided, even now, election for ministry leaders would be in October or August if we do that. Ask the Lord to give you a firm decision even now, to make it very clear to you which ministry that you would participate, ministry in church setting or ministry outside church setting.